Yeah, I really love Sam deeply. Just thank God for, you know, just friendship, knowing someone a long time. I remember a few years ago when, but when we asked him, we were just asked him to be on our on a board of our ministry, and I just, because we're all about friendship and relationship, and I needed somebody that could really just give me a lot of wisdom and not be impressed with me. Does that make sense? You know, when you, that can really encourage you. He knows my weaknesses, knows my insecurities, and can really encourage me in that, but also isn't impressed either and can really just speak very straightforward to me. And so, you know, our board is just relationship, you know. We were together in Orlando, and he said, do we need to have a board meeting? I said, we just did. Hallelujah. We just did. It was over coffee and shared our hearts. And that's what I need mostly. So we just, I love you so much, brother. And Pastor Lisa, too. We just admire you guys. You guys are so far ahead of us in the ministry. We're just trying to learn a few things. So one of the things that's always blessed me about Pastor Sam is just his heart for the nations. And when this church started, that, I don't know if some of you know this, but, you know, 50% of the income went out to the nations. That is extraordinary. That never, that's never happened in any churches that I know of. And I was just always so deeply impressed by that. One of the things that Pastor Sam just blesses me is the focus that he has. He just really has laser focus on the call of God on his life. There's no compromise. There's no intensity. His passion is so contagious, and I just love that about him. And so I love being around him. I love the insight into the word that he has, into missions, into the nations, into the inner workings of the church. And so I'm always, every time we're together, I'm constantly asking him questions, just trying to learn from him and hear the revelation that God has given him. One of the things that I think is really exciting is his gift. And if you haven't been around him, I'd encourage you. He just has a strong gift and ability to set people up to experience not only God, but to experience adventure. And he's done that for us. You know, even just introducing us and getting us to Korea this last week was a very special trip for our family, the trip of a lifetime. And so I just really thank God for that. I also just am amazed at the favor that's on his life. You know, sometimes God, he loves us all. There's no favorites, right? But there's certain favor that he puts on people for certain tasks in the kingdom of God. And so it's just astounding to hear the miracles and the favor and the people that God connects him with and the doors that the Lord opens. And if I were you, I would really enjoy that, thank God for that, take advantage of that, get around him. I think the Aussies use that term a lot, you know, what's around somebody's life, get around somebody's life. And so there's influence there. There's favor on his life, and that really blesses me. One thing personally, just in our personal journey, is Pastor Sam. I've always admired his tenacity in prayer, and the cool thing about it is he doesn't announce it. He really walks with humility, but just his prayer and his lifestyle of fasting, and it just blew my mind. He would talk about a 40-day fast and I just couldn't imagine that. I just thought that is impossible, and he would keep encouraging me in that. And so before I turned 40, decided, well, I'm going to go for this. I thought, this is impossible. But it really was life-changing. And so we start our years now with doing a 40-day fast, and that's because of Pastor Sam. And so he inspires me, and I honor you in that. It's been life-changing. I've learned so much about myself and my wife. We fasted together at the beginning of the year, and she's incredible. She cooked all the meals for all the kids and still fasted, and that just blows my mind. I had the luxury of taking walks during the meals, but she would cook and still serve the kids, and so I just admire that so much. So thank you, Pastor Sam, for inspiring us and being our friend, and we just want to thank the church for your hospitality. Just so kind to us. You are just so, so very kind. And the baskets in the hotel room, just so generous, so kind, thoughtful for our kids. And just all your staff. We even, I met Pastor Sam Kim in Orlando when you guys were there, but then got to be with your staff, Pastor Sam and Annie and Pastor Nate, Pastor Kenny, Monica, Sophia, Elaine, and Just really think you guys are blessed with an incredible team. What's fun for me is that I came in 05, and it was Pastor Sam in his office. Hallelujah. And now just to see the team expanded, and I know you guys have house churches all over, and isn't it fun to do church as a team? Amen? Isn't that wonderful? It's just a blessing. And so we've just had a great time continuing to build a friendship. You know, we just want to honor Pastor Lisa, too. I just think she's such an amazing woman of peace. I just noticed that. She just, everything about her, she just walks in peace. Nothing ruffles her. And I admire that. I love that because it's so easy to get perturbed in life, isn't it? It's easy to get ruffled. And she's just a woman of peace. And my wife and I were talking. One thing that really blesses me, I love to be around people that love to learn. And I see that in her. She just has an insatiable desire to learn. And that's contagious. So I was around her, and she's just wanting to learn. And she's looking at issues in the Word of God and asking questions. And I thought, man, that's just, I love that. I want to be like that. I want to be a learner. I want to continue to grow. And so that just really blesses us. And thank you for everything. Thanks so much. Yeah, it's good to join you too in Kazakhstan, the team. It's good to see some of you guys again. That we had such a good time in Kazakhstan, and I got to eat dog soup. Praise the Lord. That was life-changing. Hallelujah. Last time in Kenya, this last couple months ago, I had cow head soup for the first time. So now I've had dog, cow head soup. Don't get any ideas. I'm okay. I'm all right with a cup of coffee, but praise the Lord. So hallelujah. So thanks so much for the love offering. We don't have any words to thank you for that, but we do try to go into the nations, places like the Congo, where they estimate right now there's 70% unemployment because of the war. Don't know if you know the Congo. They estimate over 5 million lives have been taken. We hardly hear about it, but cannibalism has resurfaced, and they call it the rape capital of the world. It's just really, really heartbreaking. And so when you go into a context like that and you minister, you just don't have any words to really articulate the suffering. And so we're humbled by the offering, but I guess I'm just trying to say, too, that it motivates us to work even harder and to make every penny count for the glory of God. And so God bless you guys. I just pray multiplication back to you. Yeah. Can you say amen today? Hallelujah. If you got your Bibles, go to 1 Peter chapter 5. I've got a word just stirring on the inside of me that I want to submit to you today. we're probably not going to write a book for a while. It's kind of like that evangelist that was single and he preached a message on 10 laws to raise children. And then he got married and he changed that message to 10 commands. To raising children. Then he had children, and so he started preaching 10 suggestions on raising children. By the time they got to be teenagers, he just quit preaching that message altogether. So we're just, by the grace of God, trying to raise our kids. But I do have an amazing wife. Yesterday we celebrated our 17th wedding anniversary. And I love my wife so much. There she is in the back. She's the most beautiful person. I can't wait to be 85 and all old and wrinkly, and she's still going to be the most beautiful woman in the world to me. Amen? Because love's a choice, right? You say, how's that possible? Because I choose that. I choose that. Amen. And I've learned so much from her. She is the most efficient person I've ever known in my life. She is just incredible. Not only pastoring alongside of me, but just mothering our children, homeschooling our kids, and she is just so patient and kind and gracious. I could not do what I do without my wife. And this is exciting because the last 10 years I've traveled. I only take a 10-day trip at a time because we feel like any more would be unhealthy for our family. But we used to travel all the time together. But the last 10 years since we've had kids, I've had to go out. But I just could not do that without my wife. So, Sarah, I love you. You're an amazing woman. You're incredible. 1 Peter chapter 5, let's pray. Lord, I thank you so much for the awesome privilege of getting to stand in the pulpit. And Lord, I stand here with fear and trepidation, Lord. I'm honored that Pastor Sam would even ask me, Lord. I'm keenly aware of my humanity and my weaknesses. And Lord, I know that he just brings the word with such integrity, such power. I think of the times at our church at Freedom where when he brought the word, it was life-changing, Lord. It was like a bomb went off in our place. And so, Lord, I stand here with fear and trepidation, but I submit myself to him and to his elders and to the leadership team here. And I pray today that as we share this, that every word will be laced with power, every word dripping with hot oil today. Daddy, I loose the spirit of wisdom and revelation in this house. And Lord, I thank you for intellectual power, but I ask for the power of the Holy Spirit to grip us. And Lord, I thank you as we open up our hearts to the word. One word can change us. One word can give us life. So live in the word today. I thank you for the power of the preached word. And I ask that you release life, anointing, healing through it. And we give you the praise for that. And everyone said amen. 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 The title of the message today is The Value of Suffering. I want you to say that out loud. Say the value of suffering. Say that. Now, I want you to take note. I said the value, not the why. So many times we want to know the why. I think that's normal. When you begin to suffer, when you begin to go through a hard time, if you're human, you begin to cry out. You begin to scream. You begin to say, why, why? Philosophers and theologians have been trying to explain the why of suffering for centuries. I'm not about to try to explain the why. Yeah, you know, I think you can get glimpses, but I also believe that sometimes in our suffering, we're never going to know the why. And in fact, part of the test is relinquishing even the why and still trusting that God is a good father. Can you say amen? So many times we want to know the why, but in asking that question, which is understandable, I think we fight this idea of what is just or unjust. So I don't really want to approach that today. I want to ask a slightly different question. In other words, what's the value? What can I gain from the experience? Not so much the why. Why did it happen? I understand that. But more, Lord, what can I take away from this? What's the deeper work that you're trying to do? What's the value? What can I take away? Is there any profit, listen carefully, is there any profit from the price that's being paid in this suffering? Does that make sense? Say it out loud, the value of suffering. Say the value of suffering. So in 1 Peter chapter 5, I want to look at this pericope today, and I'm going to exegete this. I believe the Lord will give us some revelation. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8. Be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that your brothers throughout the world are undergoing the same kind of sufferings. Verse 10. And the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while. Just say that out loud. Say a little while. Aren't you glad it doesn't have to be forever today? Yeah. A little while. Will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. To him be the power forever and ever. Amen. Now, having grown up in Africa, I've been around some lions and have gone on some safaris. I want to tell you a couple of things about lions. Lions are very interesting. But when they're hunting an antelope or a gazelle, they always look for the isolated antelope. They always look for the antelope that's outside the herd. Notice that the herd will protect a gazelle, protect an antelope. But the lion will always look for the isolated because then he can take that antelope down. He also looks, watch this, he looks for the injured antelope. Because if the antelope is injured, it can't keep up with the herd, which is his protection, and he'll be able to take that down. So hear the word of the Lord today. This is extremely important as we set this up. One of the most dangerous places that you can be when you begin to suffer is to allow the enemy to isolate you. It's one of the most dangerous places, but it's so natural. What happens is this. You start feeling as though you're going through a hard time, and you start pushing other people away. Because you start saying to yourself, well, nobody really understands what I'm going through. Nobody really understands what I'm experiencing. You start feeling all alone and you push yourself away from the crowd. I just want to say to you today as a brother, I beg you, in the name of Jesus, please don't let the enemy isolate you. Because if you ever needed the body of Christ, if you ever needed your family, it's when you start going through a difficult time. And so the trick of the enemy is to isolate you, and especially if you've been hurt or injured. Listen, if you've been in Christianity for any amount of time, you've been hurt. You know why? Because we're people. It's impossible to go through life without being hurt by somebody else. And so especially as you've been hurt emotionally or in a relationship, the temptation is to isolate yourself and push yourself away from the family of God. But hear the word of the Lord. If I can just submit this to you with compassion today, please have the courage today that even if you've been hurt by somebody, even in the local fellowship, in the local family of God, even if you've been hurt by them, please have the courage not to move away from relationship, but to move toward relationship. Because your healing and your protection is going to be in the herd. Your healing and protection is going to be in the family of God. And so the devil will try to isolate you, because if he can isolate you, that's when he can hammer you. But if you're around the herd, that's where you're going to get the strength. That's where you're going to get the power. That's where you're going to get the fellowship. That's where you're going to get the protection. You can't get those kinds of things when you're all alone. So the Lord is just saying today, please, 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 if you've been injured, have the courage to not run away, but to run to the family of God. If you're being attacked with suffering, please don't run away. Don't isolate yourself, but have the courage to run to the family of God and say, man, I need somebody to stand in the gap for me. I need somebody to surround me in prayer. I'm weak right now. I'm not making it. I need you to stand in the gap, intercede for me, cry out on behalf for me, do some warfare for me, because I can't do this on my own. I don't want to get ahead of myself, but what happens in suffering is you begin to be reduced and you realize how human and how weak you really are. So thus, more than ever, you need the body of Christ and you need brothers and sisters who will stand in the gap for you. Can you say amen today? Say the value, say it, the value of suffering. Now the word here for devil is diabolos. Say that out loud, say diabolos. It's a compound word. The first part of the word is dia, and dia means through. Balos is the Greek word for to throw. So it's literally the picture of the enemy throwing something at you to divide. It's translated as the accuser. And so the Bible refers to the devil as the accuser of the brethren. You know what this is? This is the devil trying to pierce the herd with accusation and trying to divide. Hear the word of the Lord today. If you're suffering, I can guarantee you this. Diabolos is going to try to pierce through and divide you from the body of Christ. He's going to try to divide you and separate you from the people that you need more than ever. And that's what the devil's been doing since the beginning of the world. He's in the business of dividing. He ruined Adam and Eve's relationship with the Lord. He ruins people's relationship. He comes with a dart and he accuses and he always tries to divide relationships. See, if he can do that with people in the body of Christ, if he can do that in your marriage, if he can do that in a family, then that's where he begins to get a foothold. So realize that's the enemy's, that's his strategy, is to try to dia, to throw an accusation to divide. If you'll be aware of that, oh, glory to God, probably half the battle's won. Can you say amen? Can you say amen? And so the Bible says in Ephesians 6:16, draw it up on your video screen. Here's the devil. He throws accusations to divide, to separate you from the herd, to divide your closest relationships, to accuse you, to separate you. But the Bible says in Ephesians 6:16, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. And so realize, as we begin to lay the foundation here, that the diabolos is trying to separate you, trying to divide you, trying to throw accusation at you. Now look at the text. It says here, be self-controlled and alert. So this is we're alert. We're understanding what the strategy here is. Your enemy, the diabolos, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Verse 9, resist him. Greek word, antihistamine. Where we get our word antihistamine. So Peter's saying here that we need to resist him with an antihistamine. Now, what is an antihistamine used for? An antihistamine is used to fight allergies. An antihistamine is used to fight ulcers. Oh, when you're undergoing an attack and you're suffering and you're feeling the pressure in life, it can develop literally an ulcer, stomach conditions. So an antihistamine is given to resist an ulcer. It's also given, antihistamines are given to resist acid reflux. Now, think about that spiritually, that when you start to suffer, when the diabolos is starting to fight and starting to attack, there's an acid reflex. Have you ever gone through such a difficult time where you're tossing and turning at night, you can't sleep, your stomach is in knots, maybe from the pressure at work, maybe from pressure of relationship, pressure from family. But God is saying today, hey, I want to give you an antihistamine to fight against that ulcer, to fight it, come on somebody, to fight against that acid reflux, to fight against the allergies that the enemy is bombarding you with. And so he says here, hey, I want you to use an antihistamine. Now, let me show you how or what kind of antihistamine God wants to give you. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 2, 2 Timothy 2, and let's see where this word is used in two different places so you can really understand what it means to resist. How do I resist the devil? Do I just pray louder? Do I just fast? What is it? Well, all those things are true, but let me show you how God wants you to resist. In 2 Timothy 2 and verse 19, we're going to see how this word is used. Nevertheless, God's solid foundation. Everyone say solid foundation. Solid. That's a Greek word, antihistamine. Same exact word. So in Peter, he says, hey, resist antihistamine. Now the word here for antihistamine is solid foundation. So watch this. Nevertheless, God's solid foundation stands firm, sealed with this inscription. The Lord knows those who are his, and everyone who confesses the name of the Lord must turn away from wickedness. The first antihistamine is a solid foundation in your life. And you got to get a solid foundation of the Word of God. You got to get a solid foundation in your relationships. May I submit to you that many times people begin as they suffer, they don't make it through the suffering because they don't have a solid foundation of relationships. And so what God is longing for you and I is to have wholesome, integral relationships, healthy relationships, people that will walk with you through the valley of the shadow of death, people that will help you climb an impossible mountain, people that will love you and accept you irregardless of what you're walking through. They're not going to judge you. They're not going to push you down. They're not going to criticize you. To the contrary, they're going to walk alongside of you, put their arm around you and say, hey, let me walk with you on this. Let me cry with you on this. Let me have that kind of a relationship that is solid. Isn't that the kind of friendship that you want in your life? Isn't that the kind of brothers and sisters that you want? Hear the word of the Lord today. God wants you to lay a solid foundation on relationships because it's relationship that is going to sustain you in the middle of suffering. I said this the other night, but I'll say it again. There's only two things that you can take to heaven with you: your relationship with Jesus and your relationship with other people. And so many times we start suffering and then nobody is around. May I submit to you, it's because you didn't invest in relationship. You invested in a whole lot of other things. I'm not trying to be unkind. I'm simply trying to encourage us today is spend your time and your energy investing in relationships, because guess what? They can be there for you when you suffer and they're going to be with you when you get to heaven. Isn't it amazing how we spend so much time doing a whole lot of other stuff, investing in a whole other stuff? And I'm not trying to demean that or devalue that, but I'm just simply trying to remind us of the importance of friends and family and relationships. What's your antihistamine? It's a solid foundation of relationship. Come on, look to your neighbor and say, hey, I love you. Come on, tell them. Say, hey, I love you. Come on, fine. Touch somebody. Touch somebody. Say, hey, I want to build. Say, I want to build a solid relationship with you. Someone say the value. Say the value of suffering. Hey, there's a value. I'm going somewhere with this. Watch this. Hebrews 5 and verse 14. Let me show you another place as I lay this down for us today. Hebrews 5 and verse 14. But solid food. Say solid food. Say antihistamine. This word solid food, this is antihistamine here. But solid food is for the mature who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. The second antihistamine that God wants to give you is solid food. It's the word of God. That you would get the word inside. See, it's the word that's going to sustain you. Sometimes when you're suffering, all you need is a word from God, a promise that will pull you through that suffering. Oh, you got to have the solid foundation of relationship, but you got to have some solid food, the word of God. If you've got the word inside of you, then whatever the enemy throws at you, whatever Diabolos does to try to divide you and separate you and isolate you, well, you've got some solid friendships that will attach you to the word of God and it'll attach you to the herd, but you've got the solid word of God inside of you, and that will ground you. Someone say antihistamine. Say antihistamine. Say it out loud. Say antihistamine. And so go back to the text. I want you to see 1 Peter again. Look at 1 Peter chapter 5. Someone say the value, the value. We're not trying to explain all the reasons today. I just want to give you the value of suffering. 1 Peter chapter 5, look at it again. Be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, Diabolos, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Antihistamine, resist him. Standing firm in the faith, because you know that your brothers throughout the world are undergoing the same kinds of suffering. You know what's amazing? On the one hand, we have so many different cultures in the world. But on the other hand, and I'm keenly aware of that when I preach and minister cross-culturally, but on the other hand, you can go anywhere in the world and people are people. Guess what? They have marriages. Guess what? They have children. Guess what? They have relationships just like you. You can love people. You know what will take you around the world? The love of God and a smile. Hallelujah. You know why I go around the world with so much favor? It's because I just smile. I love people. People can tell if you love them or not. And so people are people. We have the same. There's a human condition all over the world. And so the Bible says here, hey, be encouraged that you're not the only one. Because once again, the devil, one of his tricks is to make you think that you're the only one in the world that has ever gone through what you're going through. Never been a bigger lie. Elijah said that and felt like he was alone. God said, hey, I got 7,000 around here that haven't bowed to the prophet Baal. See, the point is this, is the enemy wants to isolate you, but you got to realize you got a whole bunch of brothers. You got a whole bunch of sisters around the world who have undergone the same kinds of suffering. Now, do you see this phrase here, undergoing? That word undergoing is epitaleo. Say that out loud, epitaleo. Now, epitaleo, it means to carry something on to completion. So keep your finger there, and I want you to go to Philippians. I'm going to just show you one place where this word is used, because I find out this, that when I allow the Bible to interpret the Bible, God gives me greater revelation into what he is saying in a particular verse. And so, epitaleo here, Philippians chapter 1 and verse 6, I know that you have it memorized, but look at this, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion. Do you see that phrase? Carry it on to completion. That's epitaleo. Same word as undergoing. And so God is saying today that you've got a whole bunch of brothers and sisters that are undergoing a whole lot of suffering just like you. But watch this. He's going to carry it on to completion, being confident in this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Hear the word of the Lord today. God is the Alpha and the Omega. God is the beginning and the end. And he knows exactly what you're going through. But hear the word of the Lord today. What he has started in you, he hasn't left you to drop off the side of the world. No, he's going to bring you through that suffering and he'll carry it on to completion. He knows the beginning. He knows the end. He's the author and he's the finisher of your life. Can you say amen? Come on, slap your neighbor twice and say he's going to carry it on to completion. Yeah. So hear the word of the Lord today. God hasn't forgotten you. He hasn't forgotten what you're going through. You're not the only one. To the contrary, he's looking down at you tonight, today, with such love and compassion. Say, you know what? I know exactly what has started in your life. I know what you're going through. And I'm going to complete this and I'm going to carry you through what you're walking through. Can you say amen today? Come on, go back to 1 Peter. Watch this. Someone say the value. There's a value. We're not trying to explain the why. I don't know the why, but what's my takeaway? Well, what can I learn? What can I gain from this? Now you're gonna like this. Watch this. 1 Peter 5 and verse 10. And the God of all grace who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong. Now that word restore in this pericope is extremely important. Say that out loud. Say restore. It's a Greek word, katarizo. Say that out loud. Katarizo. Say it. Katarizo. Get it on the inside of you. The word restore. So when you start to suffer, watch this, there's a breakdown that occurs in your life. What happens is when you suffer, and we all suffer in different ways. You might have gone through a relational issue. You might have gone through financial trouble. But what happens is God begins to strip everything else away. And notice that the things that you tend to rely in, you start realizing, are very unreliable. But he allows in his mercy for those things to be ripped away in order to reduce us so that he can get us to a place where he wants to break it down and then restore us. It's kind of like when you're working out and you work out your muscle, you're literally tearing down muscle cells. But in that katarizo, that restoration, that repairing, God repairs, heals, and makes you stronger than you ever were before. And so I want to look at this word, katarizo. You know, let me just pause here and say, this last year in our church has been one of the most difficult years that we have experienced. About a year ago, in fact, almost exactly a year ago, I was training for a triathlon. And while I was riding my bike, my wheel got caught into where they edged the grass. I was on a bike path, and I couldn't get my wheel back over. And so I had settled into a pretty comfortable cadence of around 20 miles an hour, which doesn't seem that fast until you hit the ground. And so I flew over the handlebars, and it was on an incline. And so I think that the velocity created the impact a little more. So I was able to duck my head just by the grace of God, hit my shoulder, and I could hardly breathe. Miraculously, some guy was driving by, and he had a van. Somebody else came, and they said, "Hey, should we call an ambulance?" Now, forgive me as a footnote for saying this, but in America, not all of us have health insurance. And so the first thought that came through my mind was, I can't afford it. Please don't call the ambulance. And so his van, he says, "Well, where do you live?" And I said, I was close by. I could hardly breathe. I said, he said, "Well, I'll take you home." So he put me in the van, put the bike in the van. I just thought I'd take some Tylenol and I'd be okay. Well, after about 30 minutes, I still could hardly breathe. And so we went to the emergency room. Turns out that I had broken my shoulder. I had separated my shoulder, and I had broken four ribs. And so they put me on watch that my lung wasn't punctured. Shortly after that, we had two ladies in our hospital, two ladies going to the hospital. Both of them had a stroke within the span of 1 week. Then I had another gentleman in our church that he was on the freeway, and at a complete stop, and a drunk driver must have been going over 70 miles an hour, plowed into him from behind. It was so bad, they handcuffed the guys and took him away. The brother in our church got up, walked out, was able to drive home. God just protected him miraculously. Then my sister was just driving along. She gets in an accident. I get the phone call that she's been in an accident. I rushed to the scene. There's ambulances. My dad had just gotten there before. She was crying. She's shaking, blood. She's bleeding. My nephew's on the ground with an EMT. And so I went to him because I saw my sister was with my dad. And make a long story short, we went to the hospital, spent about 6 to 7 hours in the hospital, and she went home unscathed. But we had seven major hospital visits in our church. Now, for the size of our church, we don't have that big of a church family. It was a major thing. But here's what I told my church. We visited the hospital seven times. We could have been, seriously, we could have been at seven funerals. I mean, that's how serious each one of these incidences were. And so all of us, that was our particular context of suffering. I don't know what your suffering is, whether it's in a relationship or whether it's in your finances. In our church, last year, we've had people lose their jobs, people that are unemployed, people that have lost homes. I mean, this is just heartbreaking. People don't really understand the recession right now in North America is very real. It's very real for many of us that are living there. And so, but one of the things that God is teaching us, and we just keep saying again, is we're learning. North Americans have never had to believe God, very rarely, have had to believe God for their daily bread. And so God is teaching us to pray, let your will be done. And we pray that that his kingdom will come, and we're praying for our daily bread. And so we're learning a lot in that. Can you say amen? Can you say amen? And so we've been through a really, really difficult year. But in that, the breakdown has been that God has shown us that the things that we normally rely on in the natural just don't cut it. And so God will reduce you. And so the main thing is this, is those kind of problems are going to either drive you away from the Lord or drive you into the Lord. And I want to submit to you today, I believe I'm preaching to a mature crowd today, that as you suffer, it's not going to push you away. To the contrary, it's going to push you into the Lord, because you're going to have a solid foundation of relationship, and you're going to have a solid foundation of the Word of God inside of you. It's not going to push you away. It's going to drive you into Him. Oh, glory to God. And so it'll reduce you, but he's simply pruning you back. And so the Lord told me that this last year, even with all the suffering, even with the financial challenges, that he has simply been pruning us back so that we can grow in him. Can you say amen to that? Oh, if we could just trust what we're going through. But so many times we scream and say, why? And yet God is saying, trust. Trust me in this. I haven't left you. I haven't forgotten you. I haven't thrown you off to be cast away. No. I know I'm the Alpha and the beginning. I know exactly what you're going through. And I'm going to carry it on to completion. And I'm going to restore you. And when you're restored, you watch how you're going to shine for Jesus. You're going to walk like Jesus. You're going to talk like Jesus. You're going to smell like Jesus. You're going to be the sweet aroma of Christ. Can you say amen today? Someone say the value. Say the value, the value, the value, the value. I don't think you believe me, so let me lay that down. Go to John chapter 15. Watch this. And then I'm gonna dissect katarizo. I'm gonna show you what I mean by that. But you've got this memorized, but let me just remind you of John 15, 1 and 2. I am the true vine, and my Father is a gardener. Watch this. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes. Say that out loud. Prunes. He prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. So God in his love and in mercy, it's not that he's wanting you to suffer, but he's saying, you know what? All things work together for good, and you love him, and you're called according to his purpose. And so he says, you know what, I'm going to allow you to be cut back so that you'll press into me and you'll understand the value of a solid relationship, and you'll understand the value of the Word of God. And when you understand that, you're going to antihistamine, you're going to resist the devil. Oh, can you say amen? Oh, glory to God. Watch this. Money comes and goes, but the Word of God doesn't go anywhere. Written over a period of 1,600 years by over 40 different authors from different countries and different cultures. More than that, it's inspired by the power of the Holy Spirit. People have tried to destroy this. Hitler tried to destroy the Word of God. You can't destroy the Word of God. The Word of God is living and active. And when it's inside of you, money comes and goes. Even relationships will come and go sometimes. But the Word that's inside of you will live forever. I'll get the, come on, slap your neighbor and say, get the Word in you. Come on, get the Word in you. Get the Word on the inside of you. Now, let me show you. I got to show you katarizo, because he'll prune you. He cuts you back so that he can restore, make you even stronger, make you even stronger. Now, I got to show you katarizo. I got to show you what this means. What does restore mean? So, again, let's let the Bible interpret the Bible. Let me show you five places quickly. We'll move quick on how the word katarizo is used in different places. And so, I want to show you in Matthew chapter 4. I'm going to just lift these out so that you can get some insight into the kind of restoration in the process of the pruning, in the process of the cutting back. What is it that God is wanting to restore? He cuts you back, reduces you. That's on purpose. He'll let it happen so that he can restore, make you more complete. Now watch this in Matthew chapter 4 and verse 21. Here's what the Bible says. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father Zebedee preparing. Everyone say preparing. Preparing their nets. Katarizo. The word prepare is katarizo. It means to repair. It means to prepare. So I guarantee you this, that if you're in the middle of suffering today, no matter what you're going through, God has allowed you to be pruned back so that he can prepare you for something even greater. Now, that's a lesson of trust. You got to trust the Lord that whatever you're going through, you got to say, oh, yeah, God must be getting me ready for something. Fighting with the loneliness, longing to be married. Guarantee you, he is preparing you for something special. We'll give you the dream of your family. We'll give you the dreams that he has put on the inside of you. But he's preparing you. It's a lesson of trust. And so you're like a net that he needs to knit together, a net that he needs to make stronger, a net so that if it's your ministry and you long for your ministry to flow in your ministry and to be released in your ministry, but you feel like you've just been cut back, God is saying, you know what, I'm preparing the net. I'm knitting the net together. That net's got to be strong so that you can catch a whole lot of fish, so you can catch a whole lot of resources. Can you say amen? Let me say it this way. This will help you. See, big is not always better. And sometimes God cuts us back, whether it be relationally, whether it be financially, whether it be in the ministry, in order to do something deeper where he prepares us for something even better. Say it out loud. Say the value, the value. I want you to go to Hebrews chapter 13. Quickly, we got to look at how katarizo, it's such a powerful word. God, in the middle of your suffering, I can't explain all the why, but maybe I can submit to you the value today. Maybe I can submit to you some things that you're going to learn out of it. And so you're going to learn that he's repairing you and he's preparing you. And then the Bible says this in Hebrews 13 and verse 20 to 21. May the God of all peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, equip. Everyone say equip, equip. Equip. That's katarizo. May he equip you with everything good for doing his will, and may he work in us what is pleasing him through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. What God is saying today is that in the suffering process, that not only does he repair and prepare and restore, but he's equipping you. So he must be doing something through what you're going through today. I can't explain all the why, but I know this, he's equipping you. And I know this, the things that I have learned and the value that I've gained as I've walked through suffering, it's not that I would want to go through it again, but the things that I would learn and I have learned, I wouldn't trade for anything because they're deep. Oh, hallelujah. So he repairs, restores, prepares, he equips. Look at Luke chapter 6. Let me show you katarizo. Luke chapter 6. Luke 6 and verse 40. Let's just lift it right out of the text. A student is not above his teacher, but everyone who is fully trained, katarizo, fully trained. So the guarantee is this, is that when he's pruning you back, he's repairing you, preparing you. He is equipping you, but he's training you. In other words, and I'm going somewhere, but you're going to see this. You could not be fully trained unless you went through some suffering, unless you went through some pruning, unless he cut you back just a little bit. Look at Hebrews 11. Go back to Hebrews 11. I should have stayed there while we were there. But look at Hebrews 11. Let me show you another scripture. Someone say the value. Say the value. Come on, pinch your neighbor and say, hey, he's doing something. Come on, find somebody. Touch him and say, hey, trust the Lord. He's doing something. Come on, find somebody. God is doing something. Hasn't forgotten you. Look at Hebrews 11 and verse 3. By faith we understand that the universe was formed. Katarizo. He's forming you. He's molding you. He's shaping you. So by faith we understand the universe was formed at God's command so that what was seen was not made out of what was visible. He's forming. Now listen to this. Here's a principle in the kingdom. Here's an axiom you can take with you. Everything in the kingdom starts in the invisible realm and then it becomes visible. I said everything starts in the spirit realm and the supernatural and then becomes natural. And so everything is invisible, and so God is forming the invisible in your life, just like he created the world. He formed it in the invisible, spoke it into being, and then it manifested. I guarantee you today that God is forming something. You may not be able to see it. You may not be able to really see it with your eyes or comprehend, but I guarantee you that he is forming something on the invisible, and at the right time, it will manifest. It will become visible, but he's got to do the work of forming you. And so you're in an invisible state. You ever felt like you were invisible? You ever felt like God left you on the side of the world, the backside of the desert? Nobody knows your name. Nobody cares. You're all alone. Guess what? It's all Him. He's forming you, and He's doing it in the invisible. And then it will manifest and become visible at the right time. You getting excited about suffering? He's forming you. Oh, go to 1 Thessalonians. One more scripture to see katarizo. It's such a powerful word. Katarizo, chapter 3 of 1 Thessalonians. And verse 10, you're going to like this. Night and day we pray most earnestly that we may see you again and supply what is lacking. Say that out loud. Supply what is lacking. Say that. Supply what is lacking. That right there is katarizo. And so God's promise to you today is that if you are in the middle of suffering, He is katarizo. He's restoring some things. But what He's doing here is He's supplying what is lacking in your life. So maybe for some of you, it's really easy to make money. It's just a gift. There's a grace on your life. You're able to make money, but then you start losing money. And so He's going to supply what you're lacking, because I guarantee you this, you don't necessarily need money, you need Him. Because money comes and goes. Am I talking to anybody in Hong Kong? Money comes and goes. But He doesn't go anywhere. So if you've got Him and a solid antihistamine of relationship with Him and with others, and you have a solid antihistamine of the Word of God, that is what is going to sustain you and carry you on to completion so that you'll fulfill the call of God on your life. He's going to supply what is lacking. And so suffering strips you back. Suffering pairs you back. Suffering prunes you. Suffering, in fact, that Greek word for prune means to clean. He cleans some things out. Let me help you, business people. He streamlines some stuff. He cleans you. You streamline to find out what is truly efficient and really works in your life. Someone say the value. Now go back to 1 Peter. Come on, just pinch your neighbor and say He's doing something in your life. Say it. Come on, find your neighbor. Find somebody. Look them in the eye and say, hey, God hadn't forgotten you. Come on, find somebody. Find somebody. Look them in the eye and say, hey, you're not alone. I'm here. Say that. You're not alone. I'm with you. I'm with you. I'm with you. I'm with you. The value. We're not necessarily trying to explain the why, but we just want to say, what are the takeaway? Now look at this, 1 Peter chapter 5. I'm going to read the pericope again so that you can see these verses and let it all come together here. And I'm going to give you an exclamation point today. Verse 8, be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. He wants to diabolos, cut right through, divide you from the herd, divide you from relationship, accuse you and criticize you. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Verse 9, antihistamine, resist him. Oh, get that solid foundation of the word and a solid foundation of relationship. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that your brothers throughout the world are epiteleo, undergoing the same kinds of suffering. You're not alone in this. Verse 10, and the God of all grace, who called you to His eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will Himself katarizo. Oh, that means He's going to repair you, equip you, fully train you, form you, supply you what you are lacking. He is going to katarizo you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. To Him be the power forever and ever. Now look at verse 10 where it says, make you strong. Say this out loud. He's going to make me strong. Whew. Now, I love the word for power in the Greek. There's a few different words. One of my favorite words is dunamis. Acts chapter 1:8, you'll receive dunamis, power, when the Holy Spirit comes on you. It's where we get our word dynamite. And so I love that word because I believe that God wants to release His dynamite on the inside of us, explosive power to do what He has called us to do by the power of the Spirit. I love the word exousia. That means authority, that God has given us authority to drive out evil spirits and to push back the enemy. I love the word dynamite. I love the word. I love the word for exousia, for authority. I also love the word kratos. Kratos is demonstrative resurrection power that you can see with your eyes. It's the kind of power that is described when Jesus came back from the dead. You put all those three words together, that means this: when you're born again and then you're empowered by the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit wants to come on you, so you receive some dynamite and you walk around with some authority to drive out the enemy, take back the land for the Lord, and release kratos, which is demonstrative resurrection power that you can see. In other words, the dynamite oftentimes is invisible, but when it manifests, it becomes kratos that you can actually see, and there's fruit in your life. I love the word for power. And so I've spent much of my Christian life studying the power in the New Testament, but it wasn't until this last year that God showed me this word. And this word right here, make you strong, and to my knowledge, it is the only time, I said the only time, that this word is used in the New Testament. And it is the word sthenu. Everyone say sthenu. The word sthenu here means to fortify, to make strong. It's only used in this verse. Now watch this. As I studied this out, the reason why this word is only used one time, there's only one place to get this power. And that's when it's connected to suffering. In other words, you get dynamite by being empowered by the Holy Spirit. You understand exousia by understanding who you are in Christ and using his authority. You release kratos as you begin to walk out the promises of God and see them manifested in your life. But there's only one place to get sthenu, to get this kind of power where it fortifies you and makes you strong. And that's when you suffer. This is astounding to me. Because I don't know about you, but I want power in my life. It's not that I want to suffer, but the value that I can take away is that there's only one place that I can get this kind of power, and that's when I suffer. So could it be, my brothers and sisters, could it be that God is allowing you and I to go through some sufferings at different times in our life in order to prune us back so that we understand we got to build a solid foundation of relationship and the Word of God, and he wants to katarizo. He wants to fully train and equip and build us up and get us ready and form us, but it could be that he wants to release sthenu, which is power that is only connected to suffering. Whew. Touch somebody and say, that's revelation. That's revelation. Touch somebody. Say that's revelation. That's revelation. And so I close with this. Because I think you'll agree with me that when you meet someone who has suffered, but they still have the joy of the Lord, when you meet somebody that has really suffered, whether it's a physical suffering, whether it's an emotional suffering, we admire those kinds of people because they come through it. None of us would long for their story, but it inspires us when we read the book or when we hear the testimony. We don't necessarily want to go through, but you have to admit that those kinds of people, when they have been through pain, they have a power that we've never even touched. Would you agree with me today? And so Pastor Sam and I were in the Himalayas at the coronation of the king, one of the last remaining monarchies in the world. It's like stepping back in time. Some of you have been there. And we had the privilege of meeting an evangelist who would go up into the mountains and preach in Buddhist monasteries and monks. And because of preaching the gospel, he got thrown into jail. Now, as he began to share with me, you know, somebody that has walked through that carries something. I'm just being honest with you. He carries something I don't carry. And so he's telling us how he had been thrown into jail for preaching the gospel. But he's so full of the love, so full of the joy of the Lord, that he led his cellmate to the Lord under a blanket. As they laid in bed, he led him to the Lord. The man was so touched and excited.
He said, I got to be baptized. But how do you baptize someone in a prison cell? So they went to the little toilet room and got a little bucket and baptized him in secret. Now that man walked with sthenu, a power that was connected to suffering that I didn't know anything about. Maybe God is wanting to give us some inspiration today to say, wow, he wants to carry something on to completion in my life. Maybe he's trying to release sthenu to me. Can you say amen today? Let's stand to our feet. Let's stand to our feet. Glory to Jesus. So say this out loud. Say this message was for me. Yeah. If you're not suffering now, you have, or you will. Sorry about that. Say it again. This message is for me. Come on, this message. Yeah. Now look at your neighbor and say, it's for you too. Hallelujah. It's for you too. So I want you to just close your eyes. If you feel comfortable, lift your hands toward heaven. Hallelujah. Lord, we thank you for the power of the Word of God. We thank you for the power of relationship. Lord, I thank you that you are the Alpha and the Omega. That you're the beginning and the end. You have not forgotten us today. Daddy, 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 you love us so very deeply. Love us so much that you would even take the pruning process in our life. Lord, I ask today that you would help us to have the courage to say, Lord, what is it that you're doing to Katarizzo, to restore me, to equip me, to train me, to form me, and help me to trust you for my daily bread. Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. Now just let the word of the Lord begin to burn down into your heart this morning. Just let it burn. Yeah, here comes revelation. Not just to release something intellectually, but to release something spiritually right now. Holy Ghost. Jesus. Press in today. true. Even in the pruning process. Tell him you trust him today. Tell him you love him. Oh, he's got you right where he wants you. Have given me that I could never want it. Come on, there's a value. I trust him. You're restoring me, Lord.
Hello.
Begin to lift your voice and tell him you love him today. Tell him you trust him for the work that he's doing in your life. Thank him that he's the Alpha and the Omega, that he's the beginning and the end. Hallelujah. Yeah, Holy Ghost. Yeah, kibahisasa. Jesus. Yeah. And the Spirit of God just showing me that we got some people in the house that you have had trouble sleeping lately. You've got knots in your stomach and tossing and turning. If that's you, right where you are, just lift your hands toward heaven. Let's begin to receive that healing. Yeah, all over the room. Yeah. And Lord, I stand in the gap for these right now where they're feeling that stress and that pressure. So much so, Lord, that there's an acid reflux, that there's the symptoms of an ulcer, and there's the symptoms of knots in the stomach. And I just break that today in the name of Jesus. I stand in the gap. I push back oppression. And I just release not only emotional provision today, but I release physical healing. In the name of Jesus. Yeah. Just begin to take a deep breath and just receive your breakthrough today. Reach right into the supernatural. Reach right into the spirit realm and receive that today. And the Lord's showing me we got a number of people too that you've just had just... I could describe it. Some, it's like a heaviness on your chest, just a pressure. But I even have a couple people where you've got sharp pains that come into your chest. You've actually been a little concerned about that. But God is going to give you strength. If that's you, just lift your hands. Who are those people with the chest? Yeah, we've got you. Yeah, we got you today. Lord, I just release your healing fire. In the name of Jesus. And I come against diabolos who would want to try to divide and want to accuse and want to oppress and push down. I break your power in the name of Jesus. And I release freedom. Freedom from the constriction of the pressure in the chest pain. In the name of Jesus. I thank you for that, Lord. I release your healing power. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. So talamachayi sheke beheshata ta ta ta. I've just got a couple of private words. I don't know your culture, so I'm not sure what's private and what's okay. But I've got somebody here, and you can find me afterwards, but I've got somebody here the Lord's shown me that there's been some internal bleeding. Some internal bleeding that, not to be too earthy, but yeah, when you use a restroom even, there's bleeding. And the Lord is showing me that a lot of that is stress and pressure related. You're going to be healed today. And so, Lord, I just respect privacy today, but I just release that healing power and all of the stuff that's going on in their life through relationships. I just begin to release your healing power in their relationships, and I release your healing power into their physical body. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Just lift your hands toward heaven. Close your eyes. Say this out loud. Say, Jesus, I trust you. With everything I'm going through, you're the Alpha. You're the Omega. What you have begun, you'll carry it on to completion. I trust you. Come on, let's lift our voice and worship the Lord with that song again. Come on, you are God. You and the Lord, trust Him for what you're going through today. Hallelujah. Oh, there's a value.
I love what the Apostle Paul calls suffering. Right? In his word, he says it's momentary light affliction. If we can get just a picture of that, momentary light affliction. You know, and as a body of Christ here, you know, we know that when you go through these times like this, it's a difficult time. It's not easy. God is doing something, but in the midst of it, we understand that. You know, and I'm going to dismiss the service right now, but if you want to pray and if you want to come up to the front and have Pastor Eric or myself or other leaders just pray with you and just stand with you, you know, in whatever is going on in your life. We don't need to know why. You know, we don't need to have all the details, but we're going to be your brothers and sisters in Christ and just stand with you in the midst of this time. Does that sound okay? So after I dismiss, I know the parents have to grab the kids and everything. You know, but if you want to come and pray, we'll stay here as long as we need to and just minister to you today. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you. God, Lord, we thank you for the word, God. Lord, it just, Lord, struck deep within us, God. And we thank you, Lord, that, God, there is power, God, that comes through suffering. Lord, and we thank you. We don't understand it, God. We don't understand the fullness. We have glimpses, God, through the scriptures, Lord, through our own experiences, God. But we may not have all the answers, Lord. But we understand that you're doing something in it, Father. God, that you came to redeem and rescue us from those things. And so, Lord, we continue to open our hearts up to you, God. And we ask you to come and move in the midst of us, Lord. Lord, move and minister to us in the midst of our sufferings, God. Lord, we thank you. Lord, continue to watch over this church family, God. And Lord, help us to build relationships with one another that last, God, that have impact, Lord. And God, as Pastor Eric said, let the word of God richly dwell within us, God, that we have an anchor, God, Lord, in the midst of the storms that come through our lives. We thank you, Lord. Just watch over us, Lord God. Now the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. And the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace, shalom, from this day forever. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Please enjoy your refreshments and everything. If you want to receive prayer, just come up to the front and we'll gladly, lovingly pray for you guys. So.